This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Bring it up, Jake. Final hour. Power hour. You better, you bet. BetQL, Phenomenal Football Friday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley. We've already given you baseball. We've given you hockey. We gave you a ton of NBA. I spent the break putting in like more NBA bets. Like, it is just the pending wagers are loaded tonight.
Yeah, aggressive.
And it's awesome.
Would be the right word. And a good kind of aggressive. I think we've got some really good stuff going on.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. So once the show ends, we'll sink into the couch and begin the sweat process on a Friday night of all our bets. But right now, it's time for NFL bets here on You Better You Bet. Side total and props for every single game on the board. Week 7 in the National Football League. We've got buys right now, so we got time to kind of like dig into these games, which is really exciting. I feel like it might be a lighter card for me, sides and totals, than like normally here. Some of these games are really tough, at least for me to call. We'll find out what Ken thinks. So it's time now. So Snake, for the second time, I guess it's more like the third or the fourth, but I guess the second official time. Kindly please drop the dope-ass beat. Before we get to the NFL, and we'll begin with the Patriots and the Jets, I got to tell you about our friends over at Bet Rivers. Because October, as everyone knows, The best sports month, not one of the best sports months, the best sports month of the year. And our friends at Bet Rivers are here to make October even better. So whether you're betting on football, we are, playoff baseball, you got it, hockey, check, or basketball, you know it. Bet Rivers offers you great odds, profit boosts, and daily promotions. You can now also bet same-game parlays on Bet Rivers. Just pick the game and the legs, then sit back and enjoy the action. And if you're new to Bet Rivers, October's an awesome month to create an account. Just use the code 250MATCH at sign up, and Bet Rivers will match your first deposit up to $250. With so much going on in the world of sports, you don't want to miss out. So place your bets with an award-winning platform that puts fans first, and that's you, the fan. Download the app, check out BetRivers.com, and start betting with a winner. That winner is the Bet Rivers Sportsbook. The real ones know that Bet Rivers is their hometown sportsbook. Got to be 21, playable in states where Bet Rivers is licensed. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Playable in both New Jersey and starting this week in the great state of Connecticut as Play Sugar House. We begin, Ken Barkley, our Week 7 NFL picks, where all good things begin. Foxborough, Massachusetts.
Oh, God.
With the New England Patriots, a touchdown favorite over Zach Wilson and the Jets. Jets coming off their bye. Patriots coming off a hard luck loss, mostly for us, who bet them against the spread last week, and Dallas scored a touchdown in overtime. Patriots a touchdown favorite, total 42.5 against the New York Jets. CJ Mosley, Jets linebacker, doubtful. That's bad news for the Patriots. Jonathan Jones, corner, is out, and just like basically the entire defense is questionable, but I think a lot of these guys are expected to play.
Yeah, that's been true for a couple weeks now, which is why you're mentioning that. Like, just a ton of defenders on the injury report every single week. Yeah, I mean, Foxborough, Massachusetts, or if you watch Sunday Night Football, apparently Boston, Massachusetts is where the Patriots play, since that's where they show the Scenics from every single time. I don't think I have a bet on this game. I tried to talk myself into a lot of different stuff here. At first, I was like, I have a small number edge on the Jets. Can I get there on this game with them off a bye? No, not really. Okay, do I want to play like maybe a contrarian over in this game? No, not really. When I go back through my projections and everything, I think this is like a really well set number, not something I want to bet into. Worth noting, just for people who are kind of like getting up to speed on this game, you know, today as opposed to earlier in this week, first meeting between the teams, which was obviously at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, closed 5.5 for the Patriots. Pretty comparable rosters, like both ways, like very significant players did not miss either game with injury. So, you know, Mosley, you could argue, is going to be one of those in this game, maybe. So, you know, a pretty fair adjustment. Ratings for both teams haven't changed a ton along the way. Yeah, I think the market's good, honestly. I don't think I tried a lot of different ways to come up with something interesting for this game. I think the market's pretty good.
I kind of want to play a contrarian over. I don't think I'm going to, because I also played a contrarian over between these two teams back in week two, and it didn't go so well, so I kind of don't want to do it here. But I do think it kind of I understand it's Bill versus a rookie quarterback. Like, I totally get it, but they've played each other once already this year. Like, if you have any faith at all in this Jets coaching staff, and maybe you don't, maybe Saleh sucks, maybe LaFleur sucks, but like, they did have a bye week to prepare for this. Like, I'm sure they've been preparing for the better, more than a week for this game against the Patriots, right? They've been off. And the Patriots' secondary is definitely gettable. We saw Davis Mills rip them up a couple weeks ago. And we know this Jets defense isn't great, and Mac played pretty well last week against the Cowboys. Stat line inflated, of course, by the 75-yard touchdown to Bourne on the bad play by Trevon Diggs. But I think this game can go over the total. Ken, I don't think I'm going to do it, and I doubt you are also based on what you just said. But any chance, like, we do countdown to kickoff on Sunday and both of us are like, Eureka, light bulb moment, give us the over?
No, I actually don't think so. I struggle to see how I'm going to, like, I've tried approaching this game from every perspective that I approach a game from, and it just doesn't seem like it's very interesting to me from a betting standpoint. Doesn't mean we won't get a crazy result, but yeah, just, it seems like the right number to me, honestly.
All right. So it's Patriots -7 against the Jets. Unfortunately, no bets for either Ken or myself. We'll talk about props on the Sunday morning edition of You Better You Bet, countdown to kickoff, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern with myself and Ken Barkley. We'll be eyeing some Jacoby Myers props because we always do. And I feel like if any Jets going to have any success in this game, like offensively, Corey Davis was completely erased back in week number two. Jamison Crowder is going to be going over the middle. I feel like he's going to be Zach Wilson's binky in this game. So Crowder would be the guy I'd look at for the Jets. For the Patriots, it would be Jacoby Myers. No numbers yet at Bet Rivers, so we'll talk about these and lock in our props for this game coming up on Sunday morning. Let's stay in the Northeast. Do we have to with these two teams? I guess yes, because maybe we can find a valuable bet on this game. And that is, Ken, the Carolina Panthers visiting my New York football Giants. The Giants injury report is just ridiculous. So we know Andrew Thomas is already on IR. Their starting left tackle is going to miss a minimum of three games. Saquon Barkley officially ruled out today. Kenny Golladay officially ruled out today. Great free agent signing. He's been awesome. Kadarius Toney ruled out today. Evan Engram questionable. Sterling Shepard questionable. Darius Slayton questionable. John Ross questionable. These are all like players that play all the time in the Giants offense for the skill positions. So I think the expectation is that Engram, Shepard, and Slayton are going to play. But I mean, who the hell knows with these guys? It's hamstring injuries for Shepard and Slayton, so we'll see. For the Panthers, Christian McCaffrey, obviously on IR. Terrace Marshall out with a concussion, and Shaq Thompson will miss another game with his foot injury. So Panthers -3, total 42.5. This total is dipped, Ken, down to 42.5.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the skill position injuries for the Giants, like, Of course, the totals dropped in this game. Like, I think people are probably asking the same question that we asked last week when we ended up teasing the Rams on Sunday when that steam came in on the Giants, which is just like, how are the Giants going to score? Like, how are they going to generate explosive plays in the game? And the answer was that they really didn't do that. They lost 38-11, and it was 38-3, and they went for two on the touchdown.
Well, I was going to say, well, once the Rams had all their backups in, Donald was sitting with a baseball hat on the sideline, then they got some explosive plays.
Right. So my philosophy on this has been the same way. And you might be like, well, all those players are after the Giants. Like, I thought you said you liked the Giants. So here's a point of comparison. Without Christian McCaffrey and Shaq Thompson, you could argue whether they're spread impact or not. It seems like my rating for Carolina has dipped a little bit in terms of how the market feels about them. I have Carolina and Atlanta rated very close to each other right now. Atlanta only a little bit behind Carolina. Atlanta played the Giants a few weeks ago, and the Giants were 2.5-point favorite in that game. So I would compare this very similarly to Thursday Night Football. Like, I think if you're showing up to bet the Panthers at 3 on the road with, like, look at the players who were out for the Giants, you're so late to this party, it's, like, not even close. like think about that adjustment that takes place. Very comparable, in my opinion, NFC South teams. Giants 2.5 at home against Atlanta, now 3 dog to Carolina. And it's like, well, yeah, because, like, these players are out for the Giants. I think this is a situation where, like, I think you can only play the Giants in the game, honestly. You could argue maybe for the under, too, because if the Giants, like, are competitive, are they really going to score a lot of points in this game? Probably not. Three minus 110 has been the buy point the whole week for me. Minus 120. Again, like we're splitting hairs here. Three very close to minus 110 on the Giants is a bet for me in this game. I totally understand why the adjustment has taken place. I still think Giants 3 is a very good bet.
Any chance this could go up as we approach kickoff on Sunday? Like, would we see a 3.5 for Carolina potentially?
I mean, you would need a much more significant cluster injury even than what we have for like wide receivers. Like if there were like none on the roster, then yeah, the number would start like skyrocketing because that would happen with anybody. But if it's what we kind of project to happen in terms of who plays, then, you know, maybe juiced 3 for Carolina, maybe. But I think people will view the Giants as valuable in that situation. Honestly, like I just based on how the teams have been rated up to this point in the season.
Here's another question for you. Got them full of the Riddler today. Is this going to dip back underneath 3? And if so, the Giants become an insanely valuable teaser, like, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just really how do you want to play the Giants for me? Like, I'll bet 3. And then if it, you know, like, I guess if it got to 2.5 before I could do that, which I don't think is going to happen, then yeah, like, they become a teaser. Like, it's really just like, I like the Giants in this game. I think people will look at Carolina and be like, God, like losing streak, Giants have all the injuries, like lock of the century. Like, I honestly think that's how people think about this game, where it's like Carolina's like due for this really big win after they played so poorly. This number is just a little crazy to me, honestly. Like, we've just, Carolina's got no credit in the market basically any week. I don't know why we would start now.
Yeah, I lean towards the Giants if I did anything. Maybe I'll end up playing the Giants come Sunday. I've not placed the bet yet. I like the under, Ken. Whether you like the Giants or whether you like Carolina, like the Giants have no offensive players. The offensive line is terrible. Carolina's defensive line is good. And on the flip side, you've got Matt Rhule, Panthers head coach, literally saying this week, literally, you know what we need to get back to? Running the football. Pass protection and defense. Translation, our quarterback sucks. I think this is going to be an ultra-conservative game plan for Matt Rhule. You know, Joe Judge is Tucker Carlson, basically, as conservative as it gets. I like the under in this game, Ken. Under 43.
Can I give you a funny prediction? Yep. Like, this is not a mathematical prediction at all. This is just, like, what I think. Like, not, this has nothing to do with, like, a projection or math or anything, or, like, hardcore gambling analysis. I really think the Panthers are going to win this game by like 1 or 2 points. Like, I actually think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's
like, I actually think that's like insanely likely in this game. That is just my like gut instinct. That is not something to bet on, like exact score or any of that stuff. The odds are usually terrible on that stuff anyway. This just feels like a game Carolina's going to win like 17-16. That's like what.
You know what? Ken, I bleep you not. I was actually thinking the final score is going to be 17-16 Carolina. And I'm going to tell you right now exactly how the game's going to end.
Yeah.
The Panthers and the Giants.
Bad in the red zone. That's going to happen early in the game. It's going to be like Atlanta all over again. Get in the red zone twice, kick field goals. That's going to happen early.
The Panthers and the Giants played a game. I don't know what year it was. All this stuff bleeds together. Where Graham Gano kicked like an 87-yard field goal at the buzzer to win when Ron Rivera was still the Panthers coach.
Yeah, I kind of remember
I guarantee Panthers up by 1, Gano for the win to beat his old team, and he misses this time, and the Panthers win, and the Giants lose. That is my guarantee as to how this game is.
I'm so excited for the game to play out in exactly this fashion.
I'm really not as a Giants, but you know what? I am. What I'm rooting for as a Giants fan now is twofold. Giants losing and Bears losing. Let's get as many high draft picks as possible. One prop that I'll be eyeing for this game, Giants are just getting absolutely smashed on the ground this year. Remember, we had the Darrell Henderson overs last week. Chuba Hubbard, it's almost like I don't even care what the total is. I feel like we have to go over. Carolina is going to be on the ground the entire game this week. So Chuba Hubbard overs, and we'll see when the Giants receiving props get posted. I don't know who's going to get the ball for them besides for Sterling Shepard. So we'll look at some Shepard numbers coming up on Sunday as well. Ken, one more game for us to hit here, and we'll at least start to hit it. In the AFC North, Ravens, a 6.5-point favorite against the Cincinnati Bengals. Total is 46. This is a really good game. Both of these teams with relatively clean injury reports. Latavius Murray's out for the Ravens, so this is going to be Devontae Freeman. I can't even believe I'm saying this out loud in 2021. Devontae Freeman, Le'Veon Bell, and then I guess they'll bring Tyson Williams off the inactive list. Sammy Watkins continues to be out for the Ravens, so it'll be Rashad Bateman, the rookie, and probably two wide receiver sets along with Marquise Hollywood Brown. Mark Andrews gets a lot of targets. Ali Villanueva, questionable. Patrick Queen, questionable. Bengals, kind of relatively clean bill of health. Joe Mixon at 100%.
Yeah, really interesting game. We've talked about it a little bit this week, and I think, you know, I don't have a bet on it. There are two kind of points of analysis that I think are interesting. One, which favors each team, and you, the person listening, to figure out how much you want to weight these things. Schedule for both teams is extremely interesting. Ravens are in the middle of the most beneficial part of any schedule that any team has the entire season. They are not going to leave home for a period of 6 weeks. They are in their third straight home game. Then they have a bye. Then they have another home game. There is no team in the league that has a schedule situation like this. It's just Baltimore. Dallas just played three in a row at home, played extremely well, probably got healthier and played better as they went through. The Giants were obviously hurt in game three. So you have the Ravens like potentially sitting on a big performance, I think, as a result of just this extremely beneficial rest. Meanwhile, Cincinnati is in the process of playing their second consecutive game on the road as part of three straight on the road. So you obviously have two teams going in opposite directions from a rest standpoint. That seems like something that would favor Baltimore. I think that's kind of interesting. On the other hand, the Ravens are in a certain type of game in this game, a game where they are favored to win by a large margin. They have played, and because of their inability to run the ball completely, this is usually a spot where they've been awesome, but a spot this year where they have been terrible. They have played two games as a big favorite so far this year. One was Detroit, and the other was against the Colts. They failed to cover in both games. They probably should have lost both games outright. So kind of interesting, like, the Ravens were the nuts in this spot the last few years. Big favorite against a team they're better than. They're going to run for 300 yards. They're going to win by nine touchdowns. And this year, it hasn't been the case because they haven't been able to run the ball. That seems like something that would favor Cincinnati in the game. So I do not have a bet on the game, but I actually think both of those angles are pretty interesting. I just don't know how to kind of weight them and shake them out.
Yeah, I haven't bet this game. Not yet, at least. If I did bet it, I would. Because I feel like Baltimore's going to be able to score in the high 20s here. And my question is just, after what Baltimore's defense did to the Chargers passing attack last week, is Joe Burrow and company, are they going to be able to get this ramped up and score enough to fall inside the number? I'm not sure. So no bet on this game just yet. But if I did bet, I would only bet Baltimore. On Sunday morning, we'll be talking about props for Mark Andrews, Hollywood Brown. And if Jamar Chase is going to keep being lined in the 60s, I feel like we have to start playing over because he goes over literally every week. Quick break, and on the other side, Falcons, Dolphins, Packers, Washington, Chiefs, and the Titans.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Phenomenal Football Friday, NFL Week 7 pick segment rolls on right here, Ken. And we go to Miami, to South Beach, where the Miami Dolphins 2-point home underdogs against the Atlanta Falcons. Total here, 47.5. Out is Atlanta Falcons pass rusher Dante Fowler. For the Dolphins, Devontae Parker and Preston Williams, wide receivers, are questionable. Xavien Howard and Byron Jones, both questionable, both corners who missed the London game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. But it's Howard and Jones, I think, both expected to play. But we'll obviously have more news coming up on Sunday morning. Falcons -2, 47.5 in Miami. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, a really tricky game to handicap. I think a couple themes that we've talked about already in the show apply here. First one would just be, like, if you're betting Atlanta because of, like, the rest spot or Miami's potential injury report, you're, again, way late, like, way late in this game. There is nothing about the spread history of either team that indicates that Atlanta should ever be favored in this game. So you have to be like, okay, well, if that's true, then what is explaining the fact that they are favored? Okay, well, it's the fact that they're off a bye and Miami is off of a London game with no bye afterwards. This is basically an unquantifiable thing because there's no data set that tells you what this should be worth. This is the strongest rest disadvantage / rest advantage for one team that you could possibly have. One team off a bye and the other in the most horrific travel spot imaginable. We don't really know what that's worth. We actually have no idea. So it becomes like you have an unquantifiable thing. I think the market's always going to tend to move toward that trend, toward that angle. You know, sometimes maybe with no resistance, honestly, because like who wants to come back and play the other side when we don't even know what it's worth? That's what makes the game really tough to bet. I mentioned also that like I can't get to the number in the game. Like you look at the spread history of both teams. Like Miami's favorite, like we say we want, Miami's favorite against Jacksonville last week. Miami's favorite over the Colts. Miami's been a small spread to a lot of like way like playoff contending teams. They've been a small spread against even with Brissett starting. So like I think Miami would be a small favorite in this game if none of what I just said was true. If none of the travel stuff, the bye week stuff was true, like I think Miami would be like 2.5 in the game. I can't tell you that it's an overreaction because no one knows what this is worth. So that's what makes it tough to bet. I would never, ever in my life bet Atlanta in this game. If anything, it's either the right adjustment or it's an overreaction. I find it very unlikely it's like not enough somehow that we go from like Miami slightly under a field goal in my number to what we are right now. So maybe it's tease Miami, but again, like the blowout potential in a game with this kind of rest disadvantage is probably higher because we don't know what it's worth. Just like a stupid game to try to bet. I wish the rest disadvantage didn't exist, honestly, because I feel like we might get like pick or something, and I would probably bet the Dolphins in that situation. But with all the things that go into this, again, like another game, I find it really tough to bet. So I don't think I'll have something here.
Teaser's locked in. I got a Miami Green Bay teaser. I've got that in already. We'll talk about the Packers and Washington coming up in a second here.
Green Bay is like, God.
I mean, like Washington, what do you have Washington at? We'll get to that game in a second. You have Washington, what, 10 or 10 and a half, and now it's 7.5?
Yeah, so I bet 10. We came on the air on Tuesday for games I already bet, and I said it was 9.5 at that time, and I said, like, I would still bet that. As it starts to get, I mean, my number is basically like 7, 7.5, like between those two numbers. So we're getting close. we're basically getting there.
This is going to turn, I want to save all this discussion coming up for that game. I have a lot to say about it.
So but, you have teasers on Miami. That's your point.
I got teasers on Miami. I've got them teased with Green Bay. Yeah.
I have no idea what to expect in this game. Like, what is going to happen in this game? I have no, would anything surprise you here? Honestly?
I would be surprised about Atlanta blowout. That would surprise me. Like, Atlanta wins by 3, not surprised. I mean, listen, we just saw Brian Flores coach, like, one of the worst games I've ever seen. Like, he got outfoxed by Urban Meyer. Like, Urban Meyer outcoached Brian Flores last week. That's a thing that actually happened. So, like,
the coach that doesn't travel with the team outcoached the other one.
Yeah, this is literally a thing. We all watched it happen unfold last Sunday in the end game. Terrible job by Flores. So, I mean, yeah, Miami could lose here. I don't know, man. I have a hard time thinking Atlanta wins this game by like 10 plus. I don't think that's going to happen. I kind of want to bet the over.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going to, but I kind of want to bet it. I do like some player prop overs here for sure. And I'll finalize these on Sunday. Calvin Ridley's back now for the Falcons. I feel like he's going to have a monster game. Like, I think this is his 100-yard receiving game here against a Dolphins secondary that whether Jones and Howard play or not, like, has been getting shredded. And, like, Ridley's A-dot starting to go up a little bit. I kind of feel like Jaylen Waddle's going to just annihilate the secondary also. We'll finalize the props on Sunday, but I will definitely have, like, at least 2 overs on Sunday for the Falcons and the Miami Dolphins. So I've got Dolphins teasers, Ken. One of the teams I've got the Dolphins teased with. Green Bay Packers. As we get set to discuss Green Bay and Washington. Packers now an 8-point favorite. It's been ping-ponging back and forth all day today on Friday from 7.5 to 8. So the Packers 8-point favorites against the Washington football team. The total here is 48 for Washington. The right side of their offensive line remains out. Sheriff and Cosme both out. Curtis Samuel also out. Antonio Gibson questionable, but is expected to play. William Jackson is like their nominal like best cornerback. Like he's questionable as well with a knee injury. For the Packers, we may get David Bakhtiari back in this game, which means Elgton Jenkins slides back over to guard, which means Green Bay's got their offensive line intact. That's bad news for a bad Washington pass rush. For Green Bay, Kevin King and Darnell Savage, both questionable. So Packers 8, total 48 against the football team.
Reason why I bet Washington early in the week at big numbers, and I've said this, I think, a couple times on the show this week, is just, like, we have a couple data points for Washington against, like, elite competition this year. Teams that are, honestly, I have rated better than Green Bay, and I think probably everybody has rated better than Green Bay in Kansas City and in Buffalo. I'm not sure there's a person on earth that would make Green Bay a favorite over either on a neutral right now. So, like, if Washington's going to close 7 in those games, then what can this number really be? The problem is we're starting to get to what this number could really be. We're starting to get to like the actual event. So it's not like some monster number edge. It's an NFL side. It's not like the number is supposed to be 4 or something. But just basically, as we got too far over 7, just a couple points you capture that are end up being valuable coming back. Now that we're here, like now that we're like basically 7.5 is the consensus number in the market, I think it starts to get really interesting to look at Green Bay teaser options. I agree with you. This strikes me as kind of like the Rams-Giants game where, oh, if it's like monster number Giants, maybe. Now that we're here, Rams teaser for sure. Like it's just, and again, like it might seem like we're being wishy-washy playing both sides. Yeah, because that's because the number's changing. So if the number's changing, you should be changing your stance.
Were we wishy-washy last night when we had the Browns and the Broncos and we middled?
Right. It has nothing to do with like some like nebulous on-field handicap of like they're going to destroy him. It's like, well, what's the number? Okay, then I like this. As we get closer to kind of like the true number in the game, in my opinion, which is basically between 7 and 7.5, then yeah, Green Bay teaser option like I think becomes really, really valuable. Let me ask you about the total in this game. So I know you like
Washington. Can I ask you a question first? And then I want you to ask me about the total. I want to finish the side conversation first. If the Packers hit -7, like a flat 7,
-110,
would you bet Green Bay? Would you bet Green Bay?
I'd have to run the math on whether it's like good to try to middle 8 and 9 with like a total this high. But like,
How about this? Let's take your bet out of the equation. Listening, watching right now,
probably not.
Has not yet bet this game. They on Sunday morning, it's Green Bay -7. Are the Packers a bet at -7?
I'd probably two-team moneyline parlay them with something else, probably, honestly, okay. at that number. Something okay. like that. I don't really want to, like, I would never tease on seven. I'd have to just see what the moneyline is and what the two-team teaser is and compare them. Something like that. Creating a bet like that.
And I think I know the answer to this question, but I'll ask it. No chance this ever comes below seven, right?
I mean, I don't think there's any Packers injuries that could ever create that dynamic. Like, everyone that's questionable for Washington plays, the Green Bay injury report, currently everyone's out. That's still not enough to get this under seven. I mean, it's just very unlikely, right? You need a very surprising injury report here. Yeah.
I'm just being like, I would love to bet the Packers minus 6.5. I'd also love to bet Packers like minus 3 in this game, but it's probably never going to happen. So, right. Yeah. So, Ken, we can move on. What were you going to ask about the total?
No, just, I mean, 48.5, and we obviously compare that to some other Washington totals. We know their defense is like bottom 5 in the league. Kansas City was probably should have scored 50 last week. Now, the game went under, but that's like irregardless of the fact that like Washington's defense remains atrocious, allows 1 billion points to everybody. If the Packers have their offensive line back, like, is Packers team total something? You were on Chiefs team total last week. Was Packers team total be something you'd consider in this game?
Yeah, it would be. I kind of like the over in the game just generally here. I think Washington can take advantage of the Green Bay secondary in a way that Chicago couldn't last week. So I think Green Bay team total would make sense. I think the game over. I know
lower,
it's dropping
too.
Here. It's at 48. Yeah, and like, yeah. I kind of like that.
Packers team total is probably, I mean, this basically is profiling as like 28-20 is basically what the market is selling you right now.
Yeah, if it's 27.5, 27.5, like team total, anything below 28, I feel like is a green light go for the Green Bay Packers. Is irregardless is not a word, right?
I think it's like a word everyone uses that's not a word.
It's definitely not a word. I think regardless.
I know, but it's definitely not a word, but it's still something that's like in popular kind of like vocabulary, basically. Like, if everyone really says funny. It, isn't it a word? That's kind of my point.
I guess I had a really funny conversation, but we don't have time for this. I basically have a personality flaw, and this is my diagnosis where I, like, can't let things like that go. Like, I have to bring it up.
Got it.
It's like, why?
Well, irregardless, let's move on to some other games.
You know what, Ken? I honestly, like, I can't help it. It just kind of is what it is.
I don't care.
We'll be looking at Devontae Adams overs in this game. Like, I'm being serious now. I know it sounds obvious. I don't think the number can be high enough. Like, if it's not triple digits, I think it's a mistake. I think he goes over 100.
Well, it's not
going to
be. I'm
being serious.
Digits, so I mean, yeah.
It won't. That's what I'm saying. So, like, I feel like that's a mistake. I will almost certainly have a Devontae over yards. Call me square. I'm not saying you have to bet it. Anyone has to. I will be on the Devontae Adams over receiving yards prop if it's anything under 100. You bet BetQL Phenomenal Football Friday. Costos and Barkley. Now to Tennessee. This might be my favorite bet of the week. Chiefs a 5-point favorite at the Titans, total 57.5. We had the Titans on Monday night. Ken, will you be on the Titans again this Sunday?
I won't, and I'll probably be really monitoring the line movement in this game because we've had some 4.5s appear a lot, and I think that's kind of the direction it's been going is towards Tennessee, basically. If we were to ever hit 4 in this game, which was the opener, but not for very long, I would definitely bet Kansas City in the game. So I have no bet right now, but with the way the line is trending right now, which is kind of like, maybe we get to 4 on Sunday, maybe it's like, if it was like a really cheap 4.5, like an even, then I would probably bet it too. So I would never bet Tennessee in this game. Like, again, we compare Tennessee closing spreads in some of their games versus this. You're getting a discount on the Chiefs in this game, in my opinion. Like, even just look at last week. Like, Buffalo's going to be 6 in this game and Kansas City's going to be 4.5. Like, are we really going to do this all season where it's like, there's not a big difference between those two teams? Like, please trust me on this. So, again, if we get 4 on Kansas City, that's a buy for me. Otherwise, I probably won't have a bet on the game.
I laid the 5. I'm on Kansas City minus 5 here. I think the Chiefs are going to score every time they have the ball in this game. So people might be, well, why don't you just bet the over here? I kind of want to see a couple things and how it shakes out. Number one, is Julio Jones going to play? Questionable right now with this hamstring injury. Number two, are the Chiefs going to get Tre'Davious Ward or Chris Jones back? Both are questionable right now. Tyreek Hill is as well, but reports basically came out today saying that Tyree's going to play in the game even despite the quad injury. So I think the Chiefs are going to have their full complement of offensive weapons here. And if they can get Jones or Tre'Davious Ward back, I think the game's probably going over. Here's what I feel really confident in. Kansas City scores 1 billion points in this game, covers the spread, and goes over their team total. So 30.5, 31.5 doesn't make a difference to me. I think the Chiefs are going to score 40. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to cover. I'm all in on Kansas City this week. What could go wrong? Turn it over in the red zone 4 times. And saying that, we'll be on some Chiefs overs. Mecole Hardman, certainly. Coming up on Sunday. Derrick Henry's number is like 130.5. I kind of want to play that under. I feel like that number is so big, Ken, coming up for the Titans.
I mean, total 57.5. Like, each team's dominant playmakers are going to be lined crazy. I mean, that's like, that total tells you that. It's like, it goes without saying. And the weather is supposed to be fine for the game as well. It's worth noting.
Okay, one more game here. Let's try and fit in, Ken. And we've talked a lot about this game already this week. That's the Raiders and the Eagles. The number is actually now down to 2.5. So we have 3.5. Raiders minus 2.5 now against Philly. Total 48.5. Pretty clean injury reports, Ken, for both of these teams.
I love the Eagles in this game. Now it's 2.5. What would you do? Bet the Eagles and tease them and play the money line parlay with some other stuff that we'll do on Sunday in the money line parlay. Philly has played such an interesting schedule up to this point. And basically you can separate into like two kind of different types of games, games in which they have played like an insanely dominant offense that like requires them to play from behind by multiple touchdowns. And then the other games, and in the games where they have played a completely ridiculous offense that makes them play for multiple touchdowns behind, Dallas, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, those have not gone very well for them because they have been down multiple touchdowns because their defense is not very good. They just can't go score for score with teams like that. And they've already played three of their six games fall into that description. The other three games, Atlanta, San Francisco, Carolina, way, 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 way more competitive. 1-2 of them outright. What type of game is this going to be? Like Vegas can generate explosive downfield pass plays. There's no question. They are not in the same zip code as the three teams I just mentioned. Probably like the three dominant offenses in the league this year. You throw the Rams probably in there as well. Buffalo would be in the conversation too. That's not the Raiders. So profiles is the type of game where Philly can be much, much more competitive. My number's a little less than this. I think Vegas was a little bit of a mirage, kind of a dead cat bounce with a new coach last week against Denver. I actually love this. This might be my favorite bet of the week. It's just, I really think the Eagles are going to win the game. So however you want to play it, I like to tease them at 2.5 now. I think the money line is valuable. I do think the Eagles win the game.
How about an Eagles, Freddie Mitchell Memorial teaser, Eagles and Packers?
The
how about
Fred
that?
X teaser?
The Fred X Memorial teaser.
Yes. Yeah. And we get to, Freddie Mitchell did the belt and Aaron Rodgers does the belt.
Wow, I love it a little bit. The discount double check Memorial teaser.
Oh, yes. I love everything about it.
Love it. Props for this game. Darren Waller's going to go off and have a monster game here. We know the Eagles like purposefully like don't draft players that can like cover opposing tight ends because they don't believe in it like analytically with Howie Roseman and company. I think this is a Waller game. I'm curious to see the numbers aren't up for Dallas Goedert, but with Zach Ertz now in Arizona, what are the numbers going to be now for Dallas Goedert, who like Jalen Hurts loves to target? And Henry Ruggs, we're going to keep lining Henry Ruggs in the 40s. We bet him over every week. Every week he goes over, usually in the first half. Ruggs over 48.5, an absolute lock for me coming up on Sunday. Like, I mean, they got to start lining Ruggs in the 50s or the 60s. Coming up next, we close You Better You Bet Phenomenal Football Friday. Rams Lions, Bucks Bears, Cards Texans, and the Niners and Colts on Sunday Night Football.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
We'll wrap up our NFL picks for Sunday, week number 7 in a moment, but I have some thank yous to dole out first. Really appreciate our guy Nick Berlansky filling in for Tyler Morales as our executive producer on this Phenomenal Football Friday. We'll have him for a number of Phenomenal Football Fridays coming up here, so thank you very much, Nick. Appreciate your hard work. Always appreciate the hard work of our technical director, the Overtaker. I almost called him the Undertaker. I am fried beyond belief mentally. The Overtaker, Bill Matz, a.k.a.
Bill Matz. Oh, time to hit the couch.
Bill Matz, a.k.a. Take. Our board op, Jake Hassan, always awesome. Great to have Jake on the show, a.k.a. Snake. Be great, like 1980s, like late 80s, early 90s, WWF tag team. Take and Snake. Snake and Take. and of course, the greatest of all time, Downtown, Mike Brown. Our guests on the show were great. Our guy, Brad Evans, SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio and Bally Sports, and Colin Wilson from the Action Network. BetMGM tonight coming up after us, a four-hour live betting extravaganza with Quinton Mayo, with Ryan Horvat, with Trista Crick. How about our guy Quinton voicing one of the NBA 75 commercials? Retweeted that yesterday. Our guy Quinton's awesome. That. Be sure to check that out on his Twitter feed, which I believe is at Quinton _Mayo. Quinton's great. Trista's great. Ryan's great. The show is great. So be sure to check it out.
By the way, for Ryan, I think I saw him tweeting about it. Love that. I think he tweeted that he bet every game on the board because he's on such a heater right now. So for people who want more action. That's a guy after our own heart. Love everything about it.
Love that. So check out BetMGM tonight coming up after us. Ken and I return for You Better You Bet's countdown to kickoff Sunday morning, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern, and all the places you find You Better You Bet during the week. And for people in the tri-state area locally, I'm on WFAN in New York City, 8:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern for a solo edition of You Better You Bet each and every NFL Sunday morning. All right, back to the picks. Ken, Rams a 15.5 point favorite against the Lions in the Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff Bowl. Total here is 50.5. See, I don't think there's like a ton of like really like important injury stuff here. Well, I try and find it. Here we go. DeAndre Swift,
the Lions
questionable.
Lost all their guys already.
And listen, it's the same thing every week. Swift, Hockenson, Flowers are questionable. They're all likely going to play. Sony Michel's questionable for the Rams. Great. He doesn't play anyway. Daryl Henderson time. Rams 15.5, 50.5. What do you got?
I bet Detroit on Tuesday. Early in the weekend on Tuesday, we gave out the bet and the games I've already bet for that week. And it's not that I like think Detroit's super live in the game or it's some kind of Jared Goff revenge angle. It's just, you know, Detroit's played a ton of really, really good teams. Now, granted, with a little bit more of a healthier roster than what they have in this game. But we have a lot of data, I think, on how they should be rated against like the best of the best in the league. And in none of those games were we over 2 touchdowns. I just think it's basically, you know, a game that should be like 13.5. It's now, you know, lined over 2 touchdowns instead. That's enough of a number edge for me to bet the Lions. So, you know, 15, basically like 14.5 would be the last number that I would bet in this game. And, you know, hoping for some more. I feel like I've been betting Detroit games a lot this season with like okay results. Laid the points with the Packers against them, win. Laid it with the Bengals against them last week, win. Took them against the Vikings, win. Maybe I'm like seeing Detroit really well this year. I don't know. Maybe it's like a team that I'm actually like kind of reading right in a bunch of spots. Anyway, 14.5 or more, just like the Lions, just a numbers bet for me.
I bet the Lions as well earlier in the week. I got asked on radio today, like people like, oh, well, I got asked some, man, the questions, man. So like, I got asked so many times this week, like sports books making the numbers, like to try and bait people in because they lost last week. It's like, I can't even believe how many times I have to answer that question. And then like, well, I would say I like the Lions and they'd be like, well, Matthew Stafford's going to try and beat them in a revenge game. And I'm like, but do you really think that Matthew's like when Matthew Stafford played Tom Brady in the Bucks, like he's like, I want to beat Jared Goff more than I want to beat Tom Brady. It's like, I just like bet the Rams like, if you want, but don't do it like, for reasons like worth? Stafford right. revenge. Yeah. Come on.
Well, yeah, and like we'll take 15 seconds here and address like somebody out there is probably thinking the same thing that you just mentioned, which is, oh, well, like all these big favorites, like that's the books like building in so much more because the public did so well. Like these matchups have been determined for months. Like these spreads are in a lot of cases really close to my number.
Like imagine like sports books could flex in matchups. Like we lost last week, so now like we're right. flexing Cardinals.
Call in Arizona Houston. Woo! 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 It's like it's just like my number for Arizona Houston's really close. My number for Tampa Chicago is really close to the market. My Detroit number is lower, so I bet it. The end. Like that's it. Like we knew these matchups were going to be these matchups for a while. And like ask yourself this question if somebody tries to sell you the narrative that like the books, as if it's like some conglomerate of like shady characters that meet in a castle with lightning crashing.
Like, I was going to say, man, like, decide, it makes it sound so sinister. Like they're right. on the Death Star, like all right. meeting here, like the like, books. Quote
you know what the books determine about the number? Nothing after they open it. You know what does? People who bet, that's what determines the number. So like the idea that the books have any agency to do anything in this situation is hilarious. But like they're making, you know what they're making the numbers? They're putting out openers. A lot of them aren't very good. They're getting bet immediately. And then you have efficient markets because people are actually betting into them. Ask yourself this question. Like if the books were really getting together to like manipulate the market, so the public would be enticed to not bet or bet a certain way, that would imply that the public was actually really smart. And if you, the person out there, are thinking the narrative that I just laid out, you probably also think the public is stupid and you fade them. So now I have just twisted you into a mental knot that you can possibly not possibly get out of. Like one of the stupidest talking points I've heard the entire week, like as if these matchups materialized out of nowhere as a response to how public bettors did on, I mean, just like the most asinine talking point
Ken,
I could possibly
Ken,
imagine.
Ken, I was listening to one of the stations today and I heard the Raiders should be -7 against the Eagles. The books made it -3 because the Eagles are going to win and they want you to bet on the Raiders.
Right. Again, like the idea that the books are the one making the decisions.
But like imagine if the Raiders open, if the Raiders open -7, do you know what the line would be right now? The Raiders -2.5. That's what would
right.
happen.
Right. And you know who would have a monster liability? All the stupid books that were like, hey, I have a really good idea. Let's make it. Like,
let's try to fool everybody, trap everybody.
The biggest misnomer is that like the books are the ones that have agency in this situation. Like they put out a number. They don't put a ton of time into it. They put a little bit of effort into it. They put out really low limits. And then they take
usually while they're eating.
The
we've had bookmakers come on the show and be like, yeah, we all sit in the risk room and like eat a hoagie and like determine what the numbers are.
Right. And to be fair, the bookmakers that work at those books, like they didn't create the opener, an offshore did, and they took it and then they started taking bets on it. So like the price discovery on this occurs very early in the week for very low limits. The books have basically like they watch, and then when smart people bet, they go, oh, that guy just bet that, I'm gonna move. Like the idea that they're the super geniuses in this equation, like absolutely hilarious, honestly, like one of the biggest misnomers imaginable.
It's like Emperor Palpatine, the Lord Vader.
Right.
The first Death Star was blown up. We must make the Cardinals 17.5 against the Texans.
We must make their opponent Houston because everyone won against the
like,
books.
And then it's like, yes, my lord. It's a bad James Earl Jones. I like the Lions too.
It doesn't mean the Dogs can't cover. It doesn't mean Houston can't beat Arizona. It's like probabilities. These are football games. All things are possible. But just like really, like if you're really somebody who believes that, just like think about the argument that we just kind of laid out there. Like really ask yourself if it makes any sense whatsoever that things would be like if somehow the books are this like super geniuses, super villains, and they're like intentionally market manipulating, and somehow people wouldn't make a lot of money playing against that.
I like Cooper Kupp and DeAndre Swift to have big games. Moving on.
Right. Anyway. Right.
Bucks at 11 point favorite. Right. Bucks 11. I literally got asked this so many times this week, and I gave the same answer. And I feel like people were like, oh my God, like what? Like, wow, that was intense. Bucks 11.5 against the Bears, total 47. I think the reason why, Ken, this number's come down a little bit, Antonio Brown ruled out today, along with Rob Gronkowski, along with Levante David, along with Richard Sherman. Carlton Davis already out. Sean Murphy Bunting already out. So this is like the walk wounded right now for the Bucks. Can the Bears take advantage and cover this number?
I don't think so, but I don't feel that with enough conviction to bet it. Like my number is basically like 13. Brown playing isn't like a spread impact injury necessarily, but it hurts. And obviously, you know, a lot of what's driving the projection in this game is the Bucks offense, which is like one of the elite offenses in the NFL. This still, even with those injuries, this really profiles very similarly to Tampa Miami with Jacoby Brissett starting. Not in that the score will be the same, where Tampa ended up like boat racing them basically, but just it's like Tampa's, I think, going to be able to score on basically everybody, like whether Brown plays or not, honestly, like maybe they don't score 50 in this game, but like they're still going to be able to score. And it's Justin Fields playing from behind down 10, 13, 14 in the third, fourth quarter of the game. What happens in that situation with Brissett? It was that they completely fell apart with Matt Ryan. It was that they threw two pick sixes and didn't cover the number in week two. What is it going to be with Justin Fields? And what is it going to be with that Tampa pass rush chasing Justin Fields all over the place? Probably bad, but like with all the Tampa injuries, just not really a game I'm interested in.
Yeah, I feel like if the number comes down to like 10, I don't know that I'm not saying it's going to. I feel like I'll bet Tampa. Right now, I don't have much desire to bet this game. I lean the over. I lean over here. We'll get more into it on Sunday. But lean with it, rock with it. I mean, lean is my way of saying I haven't bet it yet, but I kind of like it. And if I do want to bet it, we'll bet it on Sunday. Cardinals 17.5 against the Texans, total 47.5.
I am using Arizona in all my Survivor entries this week, just to clarify this. And I'm only saying this because I have nothing interesting to say about this game, and my number's really close to this. So Houston's been a monster dog to all kinds of elite teams. I think with that in mind, this number makes a ton of sense. But I've chosen to use Arizona in every Survivor entry. So God help me if Davis Mills ends up, Tyrod Taylor, obviously not going to start. Davis Mills going to start this game. Yeah, like he could win outright. It's just very unlikely. I don't really want to take Arizona on any of the games left on their schedule, and I would much rather take the Rams later than playing them this week. So I played Arizona in everything, and we'll cross our fingers.
There are some interesting prop angles here to discuss. We will do that on Sunday morning, including a revenge game for DeAndre Hopkins against his former team. But let's close because I think there is some interesting stuff to say here. Niners, a 4.5-point favorite against the Colts, total of 43. Ken, hit us with what we should do in this game, starting with the weather. And we'll talk more about that.
Yeah, I mean, wind and rain are obviously projected. Wind, I always like to wait till game day just to see what it's going to be. It's so like volatile and fluctuates so wildly. I played Indy for a half unit early in the week, thinking like, well, maybe it's not Garoppolo. If it is, I'm probably still close to the number. If it isn't, I think I have an awesome number in Indy super live in the game. Turns out it's going to be Garoppolo for sure. So I might be holding a bad number, get negative closing line value. It's not surprising that San Francisco would start to tick up. My like true number with Garoppolo playing is 6. So we're heading toward that point now. I think we could continue to see steam. It's just as the total drops, does San Francisco get bet more? Does the number stay the same because it's supposed to be lower scoring? If you have no position on this game, I actually don't think this is a game worth betting at this current market number. Maybe like small bet Niners now that we know it's Garoppolo. But honestly, like I think a game that's really tough to figure out, Niners off a bye, obviously going back to their starting quarterback.
Yeah, I'm going to wait day to make a bet on this game. I'd like to get a better number with Indianapolis as we approach kickoff, and I feel like that will be the case, assuming like the wind's just not like completely out of control here. And I think if the wind's going to be crazy, I think honestly like anything above 3, I'm going to bet Indianapolis because I think both teams can have success running the ball, and I would want to take anything above 3. So that's where I'd be at. So no bet for this game right now, but we will definitely talk about this Sunday, and it is my plan to bet this game. I do want to bet Indianapolis. I'm waiting for a better number and a better situation to do it than what we have right now. In terms of props, Jonathan Taylor and Elijah Mitchell will definitely be eyeing those guys coming up on Sunday morning. Ken, that does it for the Phenomenal Football Friday edition of You Better You Bet. I feel like lighter card for us than normal on the NFL.
Couple fewer bets for sure. I mean, still like a pretty good amount of stuff. Like we're just all the injury information, quarterback injuries, weather stuff. Still a pretty good number of bets and maybe adding a couple more on Sunday. I think we're pretty close on a couple.
All right, so Ken and I return 10 a.m. Eastern Sunday morning for You Better You Bet's countdown to kickoff. Be sure to catch us then. Prop King, NFL best bets, everything you need to know to win on an NFL Sunday. BetMGM Tonight is coming up after us with Ryan, Tristan, Quinton. Be sure to be locked into that. So until we talk to you again, dear listener and dear viewer, again, Sunday morning, I'm Nick Custos on behalf of our whole crew here. Take, Snake, Downtown, NBL, and Ken wishing you minimal sweats, winning bets. Absolute very best of luck.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.